Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is October 17th, 2005. Welcome everybody to the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host, and we are very glad you're here. Today we're going to talk a little bit about some additional Golden Age reprint information or material that's available to you. And then we're going to focus today on the Golden Age Captain Marvel. We haven't tackled him yet, and I thought for our 20th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books, we'd talk about one of the most popular superheroes of Golden Age, who became the superhero that he was by speaking the words Shazam. So we'll be talking about Captain Marvel here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I wanted to once again talk about some additional resource material that's available in the form of reprints. And what I'm going to talk about today are some books that were published by DC Comics starting in the late 1980s on through the 90s and up to the present time. And it's not the Archive series that we've talked about before, but it's a series of books by DC called Greatest Stories. DC started publishing Greatest Stories, as I mentioned, back in the late 80s with Batman and Superman and The Flash and The Joker. And they also published a book called The Greatest Golden Age Stories Ever Told. And these books not only covered the Golden Age, but they had Silver Age material and even some Modern Age material for the characters that they covered in these books. But if you're interested in reading some classic material, whether it's Golden Age or Silver Age or otherwise, check out the Greatest Stories Ever Told series by DC Comics. The Batman series publishes a number of good Golden Age Batman stories. In fact, I believe that there were two different volumes of Batman books that were published, the Greatest Batman Stories Ever Told, Volume 1, and number 2. I believe the second volume coincided with the second Batman movie that starred the Catwoman and the Penguin, and so they focused on Catwoman and Penguin stories, but some great Golden Age reprint material there. The Golden Age book features a number of different stories of different kinds of material, superhero and otherwise, so it's a great book to pick up if you're interested in that. And, of course, they even focused on one of the Golden Age villains with the Greatest Joker Stories Ever Told. And, of course, there are some very early Joker stories from the Golden Age in that book, and then Joker stories on into the Silver Age, and then on into the present. So if you're interested in reading some classic material in a different format, check those books out. They've been published in hardbound form and in trade paperback form. In fact, DC just very recently published another Greatest Stories book. This was a trade paperback book published here in 2005, and it's called The Greatest Imaginary Stories Ever Told, and it focuses on imaginary stories or Elseworld type stories published by DC. And interestingly, the very first story that's in that volume is a Captain Marvel story from 1946 from Captain Marvel Adventures number 66. That was the October 1946 issue. And it's a very interesting imaginary story. It features a story, what if we had an atomic war? And it's a pretty grim story, really, to read it. It shows about the destruction of the entire planet by an atomic war. And, of course, that story being published in October of 1946 was just after the United States dropped a couple of atomic bombs to end World War II. So I think that the atomic war was something that was fresh on the minds of the American comic book readers of the time. So it's probably worth picking up that imaginary book, The Greatest Imaginary Stories Ever Told, just for that story alone. So if you're interested again in reading some reprints of Golden Age material that you haven't necessarily otherwise seen in some of the archive books or some of the other reprint books, check out DC's Greatest Stories Ever Told, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. Okay, well, let's talk about a superhero who made his debut in 1940, and who became one of the most popular, if not the most popular, superhero of the Golden Age of comics. Now, a lot of people would think that's Superman, but that was not. That was a superhero whose name was Captain Thunder, Well, wait a minute. You thought we were going to talk about Captain Marvel today, not Captain Thunder. Just who the heck is Captain Thunder? Well, interestingly, the Captain Marvel character was originally called Captain Thunder. And Fawcett Publications, who ultimately published all of the adventures of the Marvel family and Captain Marvel, first started to publish a title called, believe it or not, Flash Comics, and then one called Thrill Comics. They couldn't use either of those titles for various copyright reasons. Of course, Flash Comics was already being used by DC. But on the cover of Ashcan copies, which were essentially comics that were thrown together to be used at the copyright office to secure the copyright of a particular title, there was the first appearance of Captain Thunder, who, of course, looked identically to Captain Marvel. And in the pages of Flash Comics and Thrill Comics that were the Ashcan copies, Captain Thunder made his very first appearance. And, of course, the first appearance of Captain Thunder is identical to the very first appearance of Captain Marvel. So if you're interested in a little bit of esoteric comic book history, check out the story of Captain Thunder. It has been reprinted in a DC Archive series that we'll talk about in just a little while. But let's get on to the real topic of the show today, and of course that's Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel made his first appearance in the pages of Wiz Comics. And interestingly, Wiz Comics wasn't number one, it actually was number two, again due to the Flash Comics, Thrill Comics, Ashcan that was put out by Fawcett. And so Wiz Comics was number two behind those titles, but featured the very first appearance and origin of Captain Marvel. And on the cover of Wiz Comics number two, Captain Marvel is featured in his very recognizable red superhero suit with the yellow lightning bolt on his chest, the white cape with the gold trim, the gold boots, and of course the gold sash around his waist and the gold wrist coverings on his uniform. So a very recognizable character in the Golden Age of comic books. On the cover of Wiz Comics number two, Captain Marvel throws a blue sedan with thugs against a wall, and the thugs come crashing out of the car. Very, very similar to Action Comics number one, where Superman picked up a sedan full of thugs and crashed it into a wall. And we'll talk in a little while about the interesting battle that took place between Captain Marvel and Superman. But that's for a little bit later in the show. But in the very first story of Captain Marvel that appeared in Wiz Comics number two, the story begins with a young man selling newspapers at night in the city. The young man is dressed in a blue t-shirt with a yellow collar and blue slacks, and he's approached by a mysterious stranger wearing a dark coat and a dark hat in the rain. And the stranger asks the young man, "Why aren't you home in bed at this time of night?" And the young man says, "I have no home, sir. I sleep in the subway station. It's warm there." And the stranger tells the young man to follow him, and he does, down into the subway. And shortly thereafter, a very strange and interesting-looking subway car arrives with weird symbols written on the side of it and on the inside. And the car takes the stranger and the young boy to a cave. And as the stranger leads the young boy into the cave, they pass depictions of the seven deadly enemies of man, pride, envy, and all the others. And at the end of the cave, there sits a throne with a depiction of the world next to the throne and a large book and a flaming torch. And over the throne is a large granite block suspended by a rope. And sitting on the throne is a very godlike person with a white flowing robe and a white flowing beard and white hair. And when the young man, whose name is revealed as Billy Batson by the old godlike man, when he reveals his name is Shazam. And it turns out he is a 3,000-year-old wizard who has battled for 3,000 years on the earth, fighting evil and trying to rid the earth of the forces of evil. And it turns out that Shazam, the wizard, has used the powers of the gods to engage in his fight of evil over the years. And his name is derived from Solomon and the wisdom of Solomon, Hercules and his strength, Atlas's stamina, Zeus's power, Achilles' courage, and Mercury's speed, and those letters make up the word Shazam. And as the wizard tells the young man, young Billy Batson, his story, he reveals that he's been watching young Billy Batson all of his life as he was thrown out into the street by his evil uncle, who wanted only to steal the money that had been left to him by his dead parents. And he says that you are the one who I have chosen to pick up the mantle as my time on this earth is finished and this granite block is about to fall and crush me so that I will no longer be able to fight evil in this world. And he tells young Billy Batson to speak his name, and if he speaks the wizard's name, he will become a champion of justice to fight evil on the earth, and he will be called Captain Marvel. And so young Billy Batson screams out the word Shazam, and a large bolt of lightning comes crashing down, and lo and behold, Billy Batson is transformed into the superhero Captain Marvel. And Captain Marvel agrees to defend the earth and to fight evil, and as he does so and speaks the name of the wizard Shazam again to change himself back into Billy Batson, the granite block falls from the ceiling and the wizard is crushed, and his time on earth is done, and Billy Batson is now charged with the responsibility of fighting evil. And Billy is then transported back to where he started, the entrance to the subway station where he's selling papers out in the rain, and he says to himself, gee, it seems like a dream. And the next morning he's out again selling papers, and the headline of the paper is that a maniac scientist has threatened the United States radio system and is demanding $50 million to not destroy the radio system of the United States. And Billy sells the paper to a couple of thugs who he suspects might be working for the scientist based upon what they say, and he follows them to a building to where they go and decides that he ought to try to get in there and talk to them, and the security guard at the front, or the doorman, won't let him in. And so he decides to go to the offices of the Amalgamated Broadcasting Company to see Mr. Morris, who is the head of that studio. And after dashing around a secretary who won't let him through, he tells Mr. Morris what he's seen and that he would like to go after those particular thugs and investigate. And Batson tells him that if I'm successful in investigating these thugs and discovering who this maniac may be who has threatened the radio system, will you give me a job as a radio announcer? And Mr. Morris says, if you find out who this madman is, I'll do anything for you. So later that evening, Billy Batson returns to the building where he followed the thugs earlier and decides that it's a job for Captain Marvel. So he speaks the word Shazam and he is transformed into Captain Marvel. And as he goes into the building, he finds the thugs and he finds the machine that they're going to use to destroy the radio system of the United States. And the thugs are speaking over a television screen to their leader, who is the mad scientist Savannah. And Savannah is and becomes the arch nemesis of Captain Marvel for the entirety of the Golden Age, and really on into the Silver Age and on into the modern age of comics. He was to Captain Marvel as the Joker was to Batman, or Lex Luthor was to Superman. And so a battle ensues with Captain Marvel and the thugs, and he destroys the equipment and captures the thugs and faces down Savannah, who was over the TV screen, and of course who escapes. And then Captain Marvel speaks the word Shazam and changes himself back into Billy Batson and calls Mr. Morris and has him come right over to the apartment, shows him the destroyed equipment and that he has saved the day. And Mr. Morris, of course, agrees to make Billy a radio reporter, as he requested, and the rest is history in the life of Captain Marvel and Billy Batson. He becomes a radio reporter, and many of the adventures that he engages himself in as Captain Marvel later on is through his role as a radio reporter investigating various scenes. Now, that is the origin story of Captain Marvel from Wiz Comics number 2. And many of the stories that followed had very similar plots and very similar storylines. Interestingly, the arch criminal Savannah continues to appear in the next several issues of Wiz Comics, including a trip to Venus with Captain Marvel and others. As created by the team of C.C. Beck and Bill Parker. C.C. Beck was the artist on almost all of the Captain Marvel stories throughout the Golden Age of comics, and Bill Parker was the writer on the early stories. Later, the writing chores were taken over by Otto Binder, who was very prolific in the world of writing Captain Marvel in the Golden Age of comics. Now, Captain Marvel didn't only appear in the pages of Wiz Comics. He appeared starting in Wiz Comics number 2. That was the March 1940 issue that I was talking about. And that title continued all the way through issue number 155 in June of 1953. He also appeared in August of 1940 in a one-shot that was called Special Edition Comics number 1. This was the first book devoted only to Captain Marvel's adventures, and it led into the publication of Captain Marvel Adventures, which was his own title from March of 1941 until that title ceased publication with number 150 in November of 1953. Captain Marvel also appeared in the title Marvel Family. That title began in December of 1945 and ran through the January 1954 issue number 89, which was the last appearance, I believe, of Captain Marvel in the Golden Age of comics. Now, Savannah wasn't the only evil villain that Captain Marvel faced in his Golden Age career. There were many others, but some were certainly more notable than others. Savannah, of course, was the arch-villain who appeared in the most stories opposite Captain Marvel. There was also Mr. Mind. Mr. Mind was an evil, very evil character who could control the minds of others, and he appeared anonymously for a number of stories. He was not shown, he was only heard, but eventually he was revealed to be a 2-inch myopic worm, an alien from another planet who could control minds. So that's a rather creative and bizarre supervillain, to say the least. Another notable supervillain in the life of Captain Marvel was Black Adam. He, as it turns out, was the protege of the wizard Shazam, and Shazam had attempted to make Black Adam back in the days of ancient Egypt his successor to the fight of evil in the world, and that didn't work out, and Black Adam was ultimately banished and exiled by Shazam to later come back to be the evil opposite of Captain Marvel. And there were others, as I mentioned. Now, Captain Marvel was also certainly not without his supporting cast. There were many, many memorable supporting characters in the life of Captain Marvel in the Golden Age of comics. One, of course, was Captain Marvel Jr. He first appeared in Wiz Comics number 25. That was the December 1941 issue. I think when we talked about our team-ups, Golden Age team-ups, in a podcast a number of weeks ago, I talked about the creation of Captain Marvel Jr. with the team-up of Captain Marvel and Bullet Man in the pages of Master Comics number 21, and then Captain Marvel Jr. ultimately was created in Wiz Comics number 25, and of course later got his own title and also appeared in the pages of the Marvel family. Another supporting character was Mary Marvel. She turned out to be the sister of Billy Batson, and when she spoke the word Shazam, she became Mary Marvel, a female counterpart to Captain Marvel. One of the earliest teams or groups that helped Captain Marvel out as a supporting cast were the Lieutenant Marvels. A very interesting story there. They first appeared in Wiz Comics number 21. That was the December 1941 issue. The Lieutenant Marvels were three different characters who all shared the name Billy Batson with the lead character Billy Batson. And because they shared the name Billy Batson, they could, by speaking the word Shazam, become Captain Marvels in their own right. But the twist was, the three of them had to speak the word Shazam in unison, to become what was called the Lieutenant Marvels. And there were three of them, Lieutenant Tall Marvel, Lieutenant Hillbilly Marvel, and Lieutenant Fat Marvel. And I won't say much more about that other than that they appeared regularly in the stories of the Marvel family. In addition to Mary Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr., there was also Uncle Marvel, an older version of Captain Marvel who appeared with the Marvel family. There was also Mr. Tawny, who was a talking tiger who dressed in human clothing and walked upright, an interesting character to say the least. And perhaps the most bizarre but also interesting character that appeared and assisted Captain Marvel was none other than Hoppy the Marvel Bunny. And he appeared in various adventures of Captain Marvel throughout the Golden Age of comics. So some very interesting and colorful supporting cast and some very interesting and colorful villains that appeared in the pages of the Marvel family, Captain Marvel, and Wiz Comics. Now, I mentioned that one of the epic battles that Captain Marvel had during the Golden Age of comics was his battle with Superman of DC Comics. Was this one of the great crossovers between companies during the Golden Age of comics? Well, not really, because that never happened in the Golden Age of comics. Well, how did it come to be that Superman and Captain Marvel battled each other in the Golden Age of comic books if they didn't cross over in each other's stories and each other's books? Well, what happened, and some of you might find this a little dull, but they didn't battle in the streets of Metropolis or in the streets of New York or any other large city of the day. They battled in the courtroom. And what happened was, shortly after Fawcett began publishing Captain Marvel's adventures in Wiz Comics, DC Comics added, as it had previously done with some other characters that had been created by Fawcett and other publishers, decided to send what is called a cease and desist letter, telling Fawcett that their Captain Marvel character was a copyright violation regarding its Superman character. And they told Fawcett that they needed to cease and desist the use of the Captain Marvel character at that time. Well, Fawcett was enjoying great success with Captain Marvel and his published adventures in Wiz Comics, and they decided to fight the battle. They decided that Captain Marvel and Superman really weren't all that similar. Yes, they were both superheroes that wore capes that had superpowers and were invulnerable and so on and so forth, but one was science-based and one was magical-based, and one was a boy who turned into an adult superhero and one was not. And so they thought that they'd fight the good fight. Well, the good fight lasted a long time. The matter began in June of 1941, and it was not until 1951 or 52 that the lawsuit over Captain Marvel and Superman and any copyright violations was finally settled. Unfortunately for Captain Marvel and Fawcett Comics, they lost a court battle at the appellate level, and the appellate court, Judge Learned Hand was his name, decided that Captain Marvel was indeed a copyright violation of the Superman character, and also found that DC Comics' copyright on the Superman character was a valid copyright. And so, instead of battling on in court further, and because at the time that this was coming to a conclusion in the early 1950s, the superheroes had begun to lose favor in the eyes of the comic-reading public. More people were reading crime and horror comics at that time than they were reading superhero comics. Fawcett decided to throw in the towel and settle the great battle between Superman and Captain Marvel. And a settlement was reached whereby Fawcett would pay DC Comics $400,000 for the copyright violation. And, notably, they agreed at that time to cease publication of all of their Captain Marvel titles. And so, in 1953 and on into early 1954, Fawcett published its last adventures of Captain Marvel, the Marvel family, and all the supporting characters. And so, as a result of the great battle between Superman and Captain Marvel that was waged in court, Captain Marvel was no more in the Golden Age of comics. So what happened to Captain Marvel? Any of you who read comics currently know that Captain Marvel is certainly a character that we've seen in a variety of comics. He was even figured prominently in the Infinite Crisis number one that came out on the stand a week ago. So what happened? How did he come back? Well, interestingly, nothing happened with Captain Marvel during the remainder of the 1950s or during the entirety of the 1960s. And then in the 1970s, early 1970s, DC Comics worked out a deal with Fawcett whereby DC would lease and license the Fawcett characters and publish their stories. And so in 1973, DC Comics published the first issue of Shazam, Shazam Comics number one, in 1973. And ironically, Superman and Captain Marvel appeared together on the cover of that comic, where Superman was there introducing Shazam to the comic reading public of 1973. And from that point forward, Captain Marvel began regular appearances in comic books published by DC. Now, I mentioned that DC had licensed the character from Fawcett. Later on in 1980, DC just purchased all of the Fawcett characters outright. So Captain Marvel and all the supporting characters are now actually owned by DC Comics, which of course is owned by Warner Brothers. So even though they battled mightily in court during the Golden Age of comics, they came together as one happy family, and Captain Marvel and Superman now coexist in the world of DC Comics. Of course, Captain Marvel, if you read the Kingdom Come series, Captain Marvel was one of the chief characters in that series with Superman and others. So Captain Marvel was certainly one of the most popular, if not the most popular, of the superheroes in the 1940s. His adventures, as drawn by C.C. Beck and as written by Bill Parker and Otto Binder, were some of the most memorable stories of the Golden Age of comics, and certainly some of the most sought after by collectors today. Now, as we always do, we want to talk a little bit about reprints available if you want to read some of the Golden Age Captain Marvel adventures. Of course, DC, as they have done so well and so many other occasions, they have published a series of archive editions devoted to Captain Marvel. I believe they're up to four volumes now with the Shazam archives. And so the best source, if you want to read the archives or the Golden Age stories of Captain Marvel, pick up copies of the Shazam archive volumes 1-4. They reprint Adventures from Wiz Comics, Captain Marvel Adventures, and I believe they've actually reprinted the story from Special Edition Comics number 1. Also, when DC Comics did their limited edition, oversized reprints of some of their key issues, they did do a reprint of Wiz Comics number 1, or number 2 rather, as well. So you should be able to find the oversized reprint of Wiz Comics number 2 widely available at conventions or comic book stores or eBay, that sort of thing. So I would encourage all of you to check out the Adventures of Captain Marvel as reprinted in the archive editions. Of course, as I said, there are other places where you'll find the reprints of these stories, including, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the DC's Greatest Imaginary Stories Ever Told book, where the atomic bomb story is reprinted. But Captain Marvel's stories are certainly different from the Superman stories and other superheroes of the day. They oftentimes have a real good science fiction twist to them and are really well drawn and really well written. So again, I would encourage you to check out Captain Marvel, and I bet you won't be disappointed at all. Well, that's the 20th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. Kind of hard to believe I've done 20 of these episodes. As I've said many times before, I'm just having a great time doing them. And what makes it so great, not only in the learning process, but in the interaction that I have with many of the listeners of Golden Age of Comics. I've really enjoyed getting the emails and the comments on the blog page and the comments at Podcast Alley that some of you have left. It certainly makes it worthwhile and keeps me going and doing this Golden Age comic book podcast. So thank you so much for your emails and your comments and your ideas and thoughts about improving the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. And I hope in the next 20 installments we'll take some of those comments into play and make the show even better than it's been. Please don't forget to cast a vote for us at podcastalley.com. I'm just delighted at the votes we've gotten and the comments we've gotten thus far, but please keep voting if you haven't voted in the month of October. Please go over to podcastalley.com and place a vote. It doesn't take but a second to do that. You just click on the vote button and they'll send you an email and you click on a link and that's it. Your vote's cast. So please do that. I would appreciate it. I'd like to see us in the top 100 podcast if possible. Right now we're in the top 200 so far for the month of October. And considering that they have over 7,000 podcasts listed at podcastalley.com, that makes me feel pretty darn good about the golden age of comic books. Please don't forget to support the Grand Comic Book Database Project at their website, comics.org. And when you go to comics.org, check out some of the great cover images of Wiz Comics and Captain Marvel Adventures and the Marvel Family and others. They're just fantastic to look at, and I know you will enjoy them. If you're interested in uploading some cover scans for the GCD or indexing some comics, check out their guidelines, and I know that they will appreciate your efforts. Also, don't forget to support the Actor Comic Book Fund, actorcomicfund.org, a worthwhile effort for the creators of comic books in the Golden Age and on into the modern age of comics. Please drop us an email at our new email address, which is at gmail.com. That's goldenagecomics@gmail.com. I've appreciated those of you that have used that address, and I'd like you to continue doing so. I love to respond to the emails I get about Golden Age comic books, one of my favorite things to talk about. So drop us an email at goldenagecomics@gmail.com. And pay a visit to the blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. We've gotten some good comments there over the last several weeks about some of the podcasts we've done. Please leave a comment. As I've said before, if you're an expert on a particular aspect of the Golden Age of comics that I've discussed, please correct any errors that I've made or add any additional comments that you feel are important. I have always enjoyed the Captain Marvel stories, but by no means am I an expert on Captain Marvel. And those of you who may be more adept at the character's history and origins, I would greatly appreciate any comments that you might have about the Captain Marvel character. So, thanks again for joining us this week. I've enjoyed the 20th installment in talking about Captain Marvel, and I hope you've enjoyed it too. So, until next week, please get out there and read some Golden Age comic books. Check out the DC Comics Greatest Imaginary Stories Ever Told and that great Golden Age Captain Marvel story that's there. It's the first story in that book. I know you'll enjoy it greatly. So, until next week, I look forward to talking to you then.